This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hard times
like that. Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Tuesday. Let's welcome in from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona, Armani Buckets. Listen, a fun night of the NBA last night. I kind of want to lead with the Oklahoma City Thunder finding a way to tie up that series with the Dallas Mavericks. It certainly seemed like the Mavericks were poised to take a commanding 3-1 series lead that would have effectively finished off the series, in my view. We talked about this yesterday, Grant, how the Thunder kind of looked young, maybe not ready for this moment. You know, it's one thing to have an amazing regular season where you're the top seed, top two seed. It's a little bit different, obviously, when you get into the postseason and you go up against guys like Kyrie, who have been there and who've won a championship. That being said, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had one of these games that makes you think that maybe Shaq might have been right. Maybe he was ready to win most valuable player. At the very least, listen, the guy was the runner-up, so what an amazing season for him. But down the stretch, he was the guy who put the Thunder on his back. Now the series is tied 2-2. Again, this is playing out very similarly to what Grant experienced in the previous round with the Clippers. So maybe he's still high on the Mavs, finding a way to win this in six. We'll see. But Grant, I'll start with you there. I mean, again, they were down late on the road. If the Thunder do anything this postseason, you're going to look back at this game as being sort of a turning point for them. When you find a way to come back on the road in the second half late, and Shai having this kind of a game late, big turning point for the team and for him. Your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, especially after, you know, we were talking about Arash, you mentioned it last show, where I was like, hey, look, this team has shown flashes of inexperience now, and that's something that we didn't see in the first round, obviously, because they swept the Pelicans. But in that game 2 and 3, you know, I saw some things from them that, you know, would show me that they're a young, inexperienced team. But look, in game 4, I mean, goodness gracious, they looked like a veteran squad, a squad with poise. I mean, Dallas is not an easy place to play. There's plenty of players that have said that, especially in the playoffs. They are loud. They are rowdy. They support their team even when they're down. And Dallas had that lead in the second half. And I was thinking to myself, look, if Dallas goes up 3-1, obviously the series is over. And it would just suck to see the Thunder go out like this just because of how hot they came out in the playoffs. But I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, what else can you say about this guy? He's been the best player in this series between both teams, in my opinion. Luka Doncic has not been up to par. Even in the first round, he has not been up to par. And now in the second round, he just does not look the same. He's very inefficient. He had more turnovers than he had field goals, guys. That is not Luka Doncic playoff mode that we've seen in years past. But back to SGA, I mean, just down the stretch, it was methodical. It was smooth. He was getting his guys open. I mean, whenever his feet touched the paint, he would pass it out to a guy on the perimeter, and Chet Holmgren hit a big shot. Lou Dort hit a couple of big shots. This team collectively, their defense on Kyrie and Luka have been fantastic. Lou Dort has been so great on the defensive end against Luka, and I know Luka seems to be hobbled. I don't really believe it, but he seems to be hobbled. That may be a little bit of the reason why, but the defense on Kyrie Irving over the past couple games has been very good. I mean, Kyrie, I think, had, what, 9 points, maybe 11 points in this game. That's just not like him. And, you know, for a Mavericks team that should have won this game, in my opinion, now you're 2-2 going back to Oklahoma City, and we all know how much of a home crowd Oklahoma City has, and now the Thunder have the confidence. When a young team gets back their confidence, especially after a big road win like this, going back home, I mean, that could mean disaster for Dallas. This was a huge collapse by them in that second half. There's no reason for a team with a good amount of veterans on the squad to lose a game like that. But, you know, I just got to give so much credit to OKC because they showed things that I did not think that they had after games 2 and 3. And look, if SGA is playing like that, if Jalen Williams can take over down the stretch like that, if Chet Holmgren can play the way he did on the defensive end, they can win this series maybe in six. I mean, this is a little bit of a tough place for Dallas right now.
You don't even see that from veteran teams. I mean, their only lead in the game until the end was when they were up 4-2 in the first quarter. The most impressive part of this win for me with Oklahoma City, they shot 7-for-27 from three, which comes out to 26%. And J-Dub, who's their co-star, I think he had a great overall game, but he only shot 5-for-19 from the field. So it really was their defense leading the way, along with obviously their superstar offensively. And with Shai, he had 27 shot attempts, 1 3-point shot attempt, and 6 free throws. It was all mid-range, old-school 1990s basketball. On the series, Shai's averaging 32 points a game with 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 blocks. He's playing, as you said, Grant, as the best player in the series. And I think most importantly, what you mentioned, Luka Doncic looks absolutely terrible in the postseason. And yes, he's injured, and it should be commended that he's playing through stuff, but also he's actively hurting his team right now. The 7 turnovers, as you mentioned, his play style, the fact that he's getting targeted on defense. If the Dallas Mavericks lose this series, there's going to be some uncomfortable conversations about what it means to have Luka as the heliocentric focus on your offense. That doesn't mean they're going to change anything, but it is kind of telling that this Mavericks team, all they really need to beat Oklahoma City right now is Luka playing average, and he can't even give you average. So it's interesting.
You know, the reason that we started with this game, I mean, it was one of the better games of the postseason, but, you know, and I, you know, hate to do this to Grant, but I think anytime we see Shai doing what he's doing, he was a Clippers fan favorite. And I do believe when you go back to the night of that trade where they got Kawhi, but the way that they got Kawhi was that they had to make a trade for Paul George. I don't think Clippers cared about the draft picks. Again, you don't care about draft picks when you're getting a guy who was one of the most valuable player candidates in the league. Again, you got to remember at that point in time back in 2019, I mean, this was a top five, clearly top 10 player. Now we're going into a summer where there's a very real possibility that Paul George could leave. The Clippers are not going to give him a max contract, and they probably shouldn't. I think Grant would agree there, and I'll let him chime in momentarily. But while we're in a position where Paul George could be leaving, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has like ascended into one of the best, if not the best player. When you look at the faces of the league, I mean, he's certainly one of the top five guys in terms of, you know, who's going to take over, who's going to be the star. And the fact that these two moments are kind of coinciding, you know, Paul George, A, disappearing in the postseason, B, he could be going to whether it's the Sixers or some other team. You know, when your team doesn't give you a max deal, sometimes you'll take less to prove them wrong. And so I think, you know, the more I think about it, the more that I think that there's a very real possibility, like Paul George may take slightly less, not a lot less, but he may take slightly less to go for a team. Because again, the Sixers will give Paul George all they can, while the Clippers are going to basically be like, we're going to cap what we're going to give you. And so sometimes just as a, you know, having pride, you're going to go to the team saying, hey, listen, here's all the cap space we can give you. Come to us. Like, if we could give you more, we would. And I don't know if that's true, but Shea is, again, when you look at the draft picks, I don't know if it, you know, again, they packaged a lot of those picks for Gordon Hayward, who really hasn't done much. And again, we're getting to a point where Shea is such an amazing star that I don't think it'll matter what these draft picks become. And I don't think any of them, you know, again, they may pop on a pick late. You know, they have the first round pick coming up. But again, when you're an established team, you, at this point, they're going to probably package picks to get vets and guys who can help them. Grant, listen, I think you were high on Shea. I think you're watching him from afar. I think personally happy for him, but his like ascending into one of the best players in the league is coming at a time where the Clippers are going into a summer where they're trying to figure out who is going to be their guy. Is that going to be Kawhi? Can even depend on him? Paul George, will he come back? It's a weird thing to go through now.
And I think that, you know, for Paul George, if we're looking at it from his perspective, I know we're on Shea and the Thunder. I think that here's the other thing. Paul George has a player option for about $50 million. So if he doesn't get that max contract from Philly or Orlando or Indiana, which I think they all can do that, and they would be actually pretty good fits with those teams, he can still opt into that deal and maybe say, okay, well, I want one more prove it year and then go do it. Now, look, I don't think that's the right move for him. I think he should get the years, because after we saw what happened this year, I mean, I don't think that a lot of teams would give him a bigger contract after this year. So for him, it's a tough spot because, you know, you still want to be on a competitive team. Like, he doesn't want to go to a team that's not like Detroit. Obviously Detroit can throw money at him, but he wants to go to a team that's really good still. So the Clippers will be good. It's just a matter of the fact, like, hey, do I really want to go through this again? Do I really want the max? Do I really want to stay home? That's his issue. And for the Thunder, in their sense, they've won the trade. They've won the trade because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has ascended into this MVP candidate. That alone you can look at as a win. Not just that, but Armand, correct me if I'm wrong, but Jalen Williams was a draft pick from that trade. One of their either Kayson Wallace or Jalen Williams is one of the draft picks that the Clippers traded. And both of those, I mean, either of those guys have been so fantastic for this team. And for the Thunder, look, you are loaded to now, in your position now, to go use those picks again in another deal to get a veteran. Yeah. Now, I think the Thunder should have packaged something together to get Daniel Gafford at the trade deadline. I mean, imagine this Thunder team with Daniel Gafford. Yeah. And I'm just so surprised they went after Gordon Hayward. Look, I know you need wing depth, but to trade away some assets for Gordon Hayward, I disagree with that. They needed a big. But obviously, it looks like it doesn't even matter with the way Shea's playing. I mean, the thing about the Thunder going into the series was, oh, how are they going to match up with Scythe? I mean, Lively and Gafford have been pretty good factors, but it really hasn't mattered because Shea is just on that level. And that's the kind of level that I don't think I thought Shea could get to in his rookie year. Like, obviously, I thought he'd be probably an all-star, but to be the runner-up MVP candidate and outplaying Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving in a playoff series, even the brightest and the most, you know, positive Clipper fans about Shea, I don't think we expected this type of ascension, but man, it is great to see. But, you know, for the Thunder, I still think they won the trade, regardless of if Paul George signs or if he doesn't. I think they already won the trade just because of how bright their future is.
Our money buckets, I buried the lead here, and I wanted to begin with this, but I knew we would have a lot of fun with this going into the break. you know, the Cavs and the Celtics game was one of these playoff games that I didn't really care about until LeBron James showed up. And that's right. LeBron James and his wife, Savannah, and his agent, Rich Paul, they were courtside. And again, LeBron doesn't do anything by accident. You know, talking to some people around the league, it's like, you know, think back to when he was on the Heat and he went to Cleveland for a game. Again, he's very... all these moves are done for a reason. And so I wanted to get your thoughts on, again, well, by the way, clearly he will always be and always should be warmly received in Cleveland. He won that city a championship. And so, you know, there's this feeling of, will he go back to Cleveland to finish out his career? Will Cleveland basically kind of secure that by selecting Bronny James with their first round pick? A lot to get into, but I wanted to get your thoughts on LeBron James sitting courtside in Cleveland for the game last night.
Yes, Arash, he is always very meticulous and very calculated with the way that he approaches things. If we really think about what it means to be a free agent in the NBA, LeBron has really been the guy to kind of capitalize on what it means to have leverage over teams and how to manage that leverage to get what he desires. And in this case, I think that's exactly what's happening. I think that he's kind of flirting with the Cleveland Cavaliers and kind of putting that thought out into the universe. And I don't think that means anything necessarily, but it is interesting that the NBA draft is on June 26th and LeBron doesn't have to make a decision on his player option until June 29th. So again, he can wait and he can see what happens with Bronny. And by the way, other teams can do that too. It doesn't have to be Cleveland or Los Angeles.
Yeah.
What if Chicago drafts Bronny James? Then what? Then how does LeBron handle it? Again, though, we should emphasize that Rich Paul has said this is not, it would be nice. I think kind of how they've processed this is it would be nice, but it's not a priority. Our priority is to get Bronny in a situation where Bronny can develop and become the best version of himself. By the way, another thing that we buried, Bronny looking amazing at the combine on day one. Again, you know, how much weight do you put in the combine with no defense? But he shot second best out of, I believe, out of all the guards at the combine, 19 for 25 from three, gained 10 to 15 pounds of muscle. So this is not just like, we just want to draft Bronny to get LeBron. Bronny, to me, in the second round, is a very intriguing prospect. He shows a lot of promise, especially we're watching a game like yesterday's. Cason Wallace, 3-and-D wing that can guard. He's not afraid to go and guard a Luka Doncic on a few possessions, Kyrie Irving's. That's the kind of mold that I see with Bronny, Cason Wallace type of player.
Really quick before we go to great, you know, from a business perspective, I would 100% draft Bronny James. Again, you have to remember the Lakers G League team used to play at Staples Center before they moved him into their new practice facility, which makes sense. Again, those games draw, you know, not that many fans. Bronny James will clearly be a guy who, you know, will play more for the G League affiliate. You're talking about sold out G League games. Again, I saw, and Grant knows this, USC men's basketball selling out a game against Long Beach State. I mean, this is the like impact that Bronny James has. So if, and again, it's a weak draft. So like, you know, if you're drafting late, if you're drafting past, you know, the top 10, if you're drafting past the top 15, which the Lakers are, why not select Bronny James? Basically, assure LeBron's going to be there, or if you're Cleveland, like, give yourself a chance. But from a business perspective, A, he may turn out to be a very good role player, which is effectively what you're going to get at that pick. Again, not top 10, not top 5, but, you know, past number 15. But from a business perspective, I mean, sold out or close to sold out G League games, a G League players whose jersey will be sold out. Yes, it's Bronny James, but it doesn't matter. I just think, you know, if you're Cleveland, if you're to your point, you know, Chicago, you know, we'll see. But Grant, your thoughts there.
Yeah, I just think that the Lakers, so if we're looking at it from the Lakers' perspective, they're in kind of a tough spot because you could keep that pick and draft Bronny or draft whoever you want. And I'm assuming they would probably draft Bronny with that 15th pick, which is, I don't think they should, but that's probably what they would do. Or you can use that pick in a package to go get another star to supplement LeBron James and keep him here. So for the Lakers, it's so tough because you have two decisions to make. Either you go get a guy to supplement the veterans that you have, or you use that pick for your own and develop that player, or draft Bronny James to kind of, you know, make sure that LeBron stays. So they're in a tough spot. If I'm looking at Bronny James, Armand, you hit it right on the head. I think he can be a fantastic 3-and-D player. Now, he won't be a superstar. He won't be an all-star, in my opinion. But, you know, nowadays, more and more, I'm seeing some of these draft picks just become crucial assets to championship teams. And I really love that direction that the NBA is taking for some of these picks, because you don't always need a guy to be a superstar when you draft him. You just need him to fit into your team well. So if Bronny can slot into the Lakers and be a 3-and-D guy, if he can slot into any team and be this really crucial connector piece like we saw with Bruce Brown last year with the Nuggets, or like Armand mentioned, Kayson Wallace, that's a perfect pick for them. So I think that the hype on Bronny James is a little bit overrated, but for him, he can be such a great piece to one of these teams. And I just want to add something about LeBron really quick. I said this about 2 years ago, that the Cavaliers would have a pick in the first round and LeBron could go back and finish his career in Cleveland. I don't know if that's going to happen. There's a lot of rumblings, like Brian Windhorst is throwing out things, and you know what happens when he gets those fingers up. So I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe that could happen to finish his career. There's some signs now.
Just wanted to add something really quickly. Arash, I don't mean to pick on you, but we keep hearing this notion this is going to be a weak draft class. Very well could be. Just want to point out, 2020 had a lot of the same sentiments. That 2020 draft that was considered by some to be a weaker class, Anthony Edwards goes number one. You have LaMelo Ball number three. Later on in the first round, 12th pick, Tyrese Haliburton, Devin Vassell, Aaron Nesmith, who's starting for the Pacers now. By the way, Tyrese Maxey, 28th pick, which was the Lakers pick, Jaden McDaniels, 30th pick, Desmond Bane. So yes, Bronny is, you know, a guy that I would look at maybe early second round, but again, that 2020 draft, a lot of the same sentiments, and you found a lot of hidden gems that ended up being star players at those picks that we consider a pick to maybe be a pick that you can almost throw away. There's going to be talent in this draft, just like every other class.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. And again, you're not going to have a draft class where there's no star again. So hopefully that is the case with this class. We'll see what the Lakers do with their pick, where Bronny goes, but we'll have plenty of time to touch on that. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by Steve Karp to talk about all the big events and all these sports coming up in Las Vegas when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 from the California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown when the underground,
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, let's welcome into the show from the Sporting Tribune, Steve Karp. Steve, how are you doing?
Good. Speaking of Hawaii, I just learned that UNLV is going to be in the Maui Invitational this year.
Well, there we go. There we go.
How about that?
Very fun. We got UCLA beginning the season in Hawaii. We got UNLV in Hawaii, so we got to figure out a way.
I think USC is in it too, by the way.
Oh, well, there we go.
Maybe you and I need to make a road trip.
I agree. Exactly. Let's head out to Maui. All right, Carpi, speaking of big events coming, there's a lot to get into. Wanted to first start off with, you know, the one big event that has eluded Las Vegas, mainly because of scheduling and other events in Las Vegas, has been the college football playoff national championship game. Yep. It looks like it will be coming to Las Vegas 2027. It's not official yet, but Brett McMurphy, who does a great job reporting on college football, is saying it's basically a done deal. You know, the significance there is that, you know, 2027, they'd be getting the college football playoff national championship game, and then in 2028, the men's Final Four. The significance of that in your mind?
Well, obviously, the college football playoff is a mega event in the American sports calendar. So for Las Vegas to be even considered, much less get this thing, is a big feather in the cap for the city, for Las Vegas events, for the hotels, the restaurants, bars, casinos. This will be a major thing because everybody in the sports world will be looking at Vegas when the two teams play for the title. And, yeah, you know, I mean, we've seen already, Arash, you and I have sat together at the Pac-12 championship game the last couple of years. People here in this city will support a good football event. You know, as long as it's a quality thing, and obviously it doesn't get any better than a national championship game. So this is wonderful for the city. And again, it's another indication that sports betting is not an impediment to Las Vegas staging an event. I mean, if they could host a Super Bowl, they certainly could host a national college football championship game, and obviously the Final Four for the men in basketball in 2028, which is still kind of mind-blowing to me personally, having dealt with the NCAA when I was covering UNLV.
Yeah, I mean, just when you look at what they put Tark through and what they put that program through, the fact that they're going to have the Final Four there is incredible. The other event that's coming back to Las Vegas after a little bit of a hiatus, the National Hockey League, both the draft and the awards will be in Las Vegas. Yep. The draft, the significance there is, and you'll touch on this as we get closer to that date. I mean, this is the last draft where all the teams will be there in terms of the GMs and scouts and whatnot. It's very unique. That is not the case in any of the other drafts. But again, it's also significant in terms of being, it's on track to be the first sports event held at the Sphere. Again, first of what will be quite a number of sports events, whether it's UFC or WWE or some other events as well. But your thoughts on that?
It's going to be a fun 2 days. 3 days if you count the awards show at the Fontainebleau, which I've not been to yet. You have. And I think you thought it was pretty good, right, when you went?
It was. And you know what? They have improved. Again, the story that I wrote about it at the time, the review, was that, you know, listen, you know, obviously there is the original Fontainebleau in South Beach on Collins Avenue. And this is not that. The north end of the strip, as I well know, is not that. So they have reduced their prices. They have catered to locals, which you really have to do on that side of the strip. So listen, they have improved. Love the fact that the awards are there. As you know, I'll be able to walk to it. You'll be able to go to it. So it's going to be great. But listen, I think the league realizes that Vegas is the perfect place to have this event. People want to go there.
You know, the draft, let's just talk about that, because obviously the Sphere is a unique venue for this kind of setting. You know, it's a very special night for the players who hear their names called. It's a wonderful tradition the NHL has had over the decades where you get to sit with your family in the stands, you hear your name, you do your hugs and kisses, you meet Gary Bettman, you meet the owner or the GM, coach, and the hockey ops people who drafted you. You pose, you get your jersey, you get your hat, you talk to the local media who you're going to get to be on a first name basis with at some point, hopefully, that your career takes off. And it's just a really cool vibe. So I think having it here in Vegas will be wonderful. Having it at the Sphere will be very special. I got to figure out where the hell am I going to park, but I'll worry about that. What I'll probably do is stay at park at the NHL hotel and then take a bus over with everyone else. Not even mess with parking. It's for us locals, you're not treated really well on the Strip. I got to be honest about it. You're a semi-local now that you have a place of residence there on Sahara Avenue, but that's not a big deal. It is going to be great. It's sad that this is going to end, and it's going to become a very vanilla process, and it'll all be done on Zoom or Skype or something. So whatever the newest platform is, some kid will be sitting in somewhere in Ontario or Saskatchewan. Oh, I'm a Florida Panther. Okay, cool. I guess I'll see you on the plane in the sunrise or something. So we're going to miss all that, I think.
Yeah. Listen, I think the Sphere, when you think about what makes it so unique, is that they will have probably personalized highlights that they can play on the Sphere screen, like following the top picks of the draft. So that'll be fun. Again, one of many events that'll be coming to Las Vegas. WrestleMania will be coming to Las Vegas. We'll be covering that as well. Steve, wanted to get your thoughts also on the Preakness. Again, when you talk about the second leg of the Triple Crown, that'll really determine how invested a lot of casual fans, not yourself, but casual fans are in the Belmont, because, I think everyone wants to see a Triple Crown winner. Your thoughts on the Preakness?
I've been to the Preakness. It was not a pleasant experience.
Oh, yeah.
It rained, the roof leaks at Pimlico. The neighborhood is a bit dicey, to put it politely. It's no secret that they're trying to get rid of it and move everything to Laurel. That said, it's still the second leg of the Triple Crown. I'm glad Mystic Dan is going to take a run at it, the winner of the Derby. There's some new shooters. Bob Baffert is allowed to race in Maryland. So he's got Booth. He's got, I forgot the name of the other horse he has. So there's plenty of good storylines to this. And again, horse racing is always its own worst enemy. As someone who, plays the horses on a regular basis, I see it firsthand, whether I'm sitting in the race book or if I actually go to a racetrack and just see the mismanagement and the way the fans are treated and stuff. But it's one of the few days of the year where people actually give a damn about the sport. It's kind of like boxing in that respect. When you have a really good fight, people who don't normally follow boxing will tune in or look or make a bet or something. Pimlico, like I said, it's not the greatest place on earth, but it is tradition, 149 years of it. And I hope they can find a way to fix the place up and keep it going. I mean, I know there's plans to do it. I know the state of Maryland would like to keep it rolling. The most intriguing thing to me, Ross, about this year with horse racing is when they go to run the Belmont Stakes, in a few weeks up at Saratoga, because Belmont Park is being totally renovated, and there won't be any Belmont Park for the next 2 years. So they're going to run the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga, and they're going to run it at a mile and a quarter because they can't figure out a way to configure a mile and a half race on that track. I think the circumference of Saratoga, if I'm not mistaken, is a mile and an eighth. And they just don't have the wherewithal to run a mile and a half race on the dirt there. But I think it'll be, you know, for the 4 days they're running, it'll be a lot of fun for those who go upstate to Saratoga. It'll be a very different vibe than when you go to Belmont Park.
Yeah, I went to the Preakness one time, and it was to do a story on the infield, and it was raining, and there was a bikini contest at 9 o'clock in the morning, and kids were doing Jaeger bombs at 10 a.m., passed out, had no idea that there was a horse race, and certainly not of the significance of the Preakness. It was crazy, but I'm glad I got to experience it. Would I go back? No, but I'm glad I checked that off the list. I think there are certain events that one should do, and Kentucky Derby, Preakness, the Belmont, I would include that. So I will be watching, but again, a lot of casuals, the success of the Belmont, which is now on Fox, that will depend on if Mystic Dan can win. Carpe, you'll be out at Michelob Ultra Arena tonight. The Las Vegas Aces will be raising the banner, getting their championship rings, back-to-back champions, going for a third straight title. This has been hailed as the most talked about season in the WNBA history. Again, when you look at Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and Cameron Brink and these rookies coming in and the TV viewership that they got during the tournament, close to 20 million. What a staggering number for the championship game. Touch on the significance. Again, in Vegas, this game is sold out. They're basically treating it like a playoff game. They're telling you and all of the press to get there as soon as they can, very early, not to deal with traffic and lines and whatnot. Your thoughts on this upcoming season?
It is so good to see this league finally reaping the benefits of all the players that came early. I think about Lisa Leslie, Cheryl Swoops, Teresa Witherspoon, even go back to Ann Donovan, you know, the early days of the WNBA, and I'm leaving out a bunch of gals who made their impact, Becky Hammond. And it is so wonderful for anybody who's got a daughter to see this league having success now, because these gals are really good role models for young girls. And they need role models, just like boys do. Okay? So, if you like Sabrina Ionescu, if you like Asia Wilson, if you like Breanna Stewart, you know, I can go on and on and on and on. It's great. And it's good to see that the league is trying to seize the opportunity. They're going to expand to San Francisco and Toronto. They're looking beyond those cities to add more teams. They're finally going to allow all the teams to fly charter to their away games, which is huge.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we've seen teams have to forfeit. The Aces forfeited the game a few years ago because they couldn't get to their game in time because they were having travel issues with their commercial flight and buses and trains and, you know, it's like a John Candy, Steve Martin movie, Trains, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It was nuts, you know. So it's really cool. I have no idea how good Caitlin Clark is going to be early on as a professional. I think she's got the game to be very good at some point. Her team's not that good. See, that's the problem. That's why she got drafted one overall, because Indiana's not that good.
Yeah.
But they have a chance to get a lot better now than they have her. And obviously, you know, teams are accommodating and trying to cash in on her by moving games to bigger venues. Even the Aces are doing that. They're The July 2nd game with Indiana has been moved from Michelob Ultra Arena to T-Mobile.
Yeah.
Which seats, you know, 8,000-9,000 more people. So all this, the TV ratings, the income, I mean, I saw the other day that there was a women's underwear. Yeah. I believe it was Kardashian's line, right?
Kim's, that's right.
Kim's, that are featuring WNBA players in an ad, which is wonderful. You know, Asia Wilson finally got her shoe.
That's right. Big, big moment for her.
We'll give you a little assist there.
That's right.
For pushing it, you know, pushing that narrative. And it's great for Asia. Asia's wonderful. You know, she's a quiet Southern girl from South Carolina. She just wants to enjoy her career, play ball, win. She does everything the right way. She's a wonderful role model for young girls, too. So I'm glad she's benefiting kids. I just wish, you know, Becky Hammon would quit, you know, railing against the world, although I think that she does have more for motivation than anything else. All right, so this all said, they're going to play Phoenix tonight, which will not have Brittany Griner available.
Yeah.
She's hurt. Chelsea Gray is hurt. I don't know if it's still the same foot injury. It's her left leg, they say. So I don't know if it's her foot, her knee, her ankle, her calf, her hamstring. Who the hell knows? they can get by, you know, early on without Chelsea Gray. But at some point, if they're serious about winning this third straight title, they're going to need her.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that she's their smartest player. She's not their best player. She's their smartest player. And you always want smart players. And, you know, for them, you've got, you know, Asia, you got Jackie Young, you got Chelsea Gray, and you got Kelsey Plum. And that core four is there. And they're going to be motivated to keep winning. And whatever Becky's got to do to motivate them, that's what she'll do. If she has to take on the press, she's got to call people out, she's going to do it. You know, that's just her MO. It's, you know, she learned a lot from Greg Popovich.
That's right.
Her time at San Antonio. And she reminds me of, like, little Miss Pop.
I like it.
You know, she's, that's kind of where she's at with everything. So when I see her tonight, I expect her to be her sassy little self. And somebody will ask her an honest, innocent question, and she will probably snap at them. And, you know, we'll see how it all goes.
Garpy, real quick, 90 seconds. Let's close out on here. The Raiders have their, like, OTAs. The team will get their – will be all together next week. Your thoughts on this team? Again, not expected to be a playoff team, but who knows? Your thoughts on them going into this offseason, the activities?
Let's see how the quarterbacks do with a new OC. If Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew can – figure this offense out, get it moving on a consistent basis, put points up, take some of the pressure off Max Crosby and this defense. You know what? The division's not that great. Let's be honest about the Chargers. You know, we've lost a lot of people. Denver's still in a rebuild. Kansas City is Kansas City. But, you know, the Raiders could get a wild card. Why not? Yeah. I'm not ready to write them off just yet. You know, I just think, you know, Antonio Pierce is growing as a coach. And I just think I'm keeping an open mind on the Raiders as we head into, you know, training camp and then the season. Of course, the schedule will be announced tomorrow. So we'll figure out where they're going, who they're playing, and where and when. So,
yeah. Listen, anyway. You wrote about their top draft pick. I think he could be a star in this league, and I think he will certainly help whatever quarterback. Brock Bowers was a tight end that a lot of teams wanted to draft up to select. Sean McVay and the Rams really tried hard to make that happen. They could not. He's with the Raiders again. That security blanket that a tight end can be for a young quarterback or quarterback trying to establish themselves is huge. Carpy, we'll have you back on the show soon. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.